Good day to everybody. Tim Karskadden here again from Christian Center Shreveport. Glad you joined us. This week we're talking about preparing the way of the Lord, and we're giving you manifestations to know that you are called to do this and what are some of the things you'll be feeling. So join us. Well, welcome back again. It's our midweek, if you're doing it on schedule, but it's a Wednesday. I'm in Italy right now. I know I'm ministering there. So pray for me if you're on schedule. Pray for me that day. If you're reading it and listen to it later, it's too late to pray. Just pray that what we did there will bring change there. But we yesterday talked about some of the manifestations, some of the feelings you'll go through, some of the frustrations, healthy frustrations, some of the things that you're experiencing that will kind of give you an indication and let you know that you're called to be one who prepares the way of the Lord. I personally believe, that's my theology, is that we're all called to be one who prepares the way of the Lord. You know, you may not manifest like John the Baptist did, like Elijah did, and so forth, but you still are preparing the way of the Lord. You know, if you're a servant in the church and just serving the church, doing whatever you're called to do, you know, you're setting an atmosphere for somebody to experience the Lord. So you are preparing the way of the Lord. So don't over magnify what it means to prepare the way of the Lord. It basically means just doing what God's called you to do. Do what the Word of God says to do, but always advancing. I think that's the key, is advancement. The Bible says in Jeremiah that the kingdom of God is always increasing. It's always advancing. If you are not part of the process of advancing the kingdom, then most likely you're not preparing the way of the Lord. If you're just part of those who just stand and live your life for yourself and don't advance, then yeah, you're going to battle. I have to watch that because, you know, if I get myself in an environment that is conducive to doing nothing, I can really adapt to that and just chill and do nothing. But, you know, there's something inside of me, as Jeremiah called it, fire in your bones, that you may say, well, I'm not going to do anything, but there's something inside of you that says, no, I got to do something. I can't accept the status quo where we are right now. We're making a difference. Think about Jeremiah. You know, Israel's in rebellion. God gives a prophetic word to him that they're going to go into captivity. They don't want to, but Jeremiah sees prophetically that this change will actually save them in the end, and there will be a restoration of Jerusalem. There'll be a restoration of Israel through it all. So, you know, he wants the change. He realizes that if they stay in the land or fight to stay in the land at that time, that they were going to fail and they were going to go deeper into darkness. So God's weird, if you would call it that, plan was to send them into captivity in order to bring redemption in their lives. So he was part of the change. You know, he was one who fought for the change. So, you know, if you are one who's called for that, you're going to fight for those things. You're going to fight that we get in the will of God, do whatever it takes, cry out in repentance and travail for us to get where we're supposed to be. And, you know, our call in your nation, whatever nation you're in America, we're praying that we get back to our foundations, our Christian foundations of our nation, because our nation was like ones who were preparing the way of the Lord. I know South Africa was like that. The great apostles, Andrew Murray and the Moravians and many of the others, the Huguenots and many others who landed there, were preparing the way of the Lord in that country. And the harvest that is there right now is strong because there were those who prepared the way of the Lord. And rejoice in that, but then also build on what they built. Be one of those. You know, I think the key thing that for our nation is those who founding fathers of our nation, was that their lives were not important. You know, their lives were given to birth something new in the earth, to create an atmosphere, get away from tyranny, get away from, you know, the political spirits that were there, and build something great. So I want to say this to you. Heaven's waiting for you to get into preparing this way. You know, one of the things that somebody's called prepare the way that you just it'll kill you is religion. Because religion calms everything down. You know, it just shuts it down almost at times. I remember when, you know, when I was coming out of just the evangelical world and moving into the spirit-filled world, you know, I would be told to calm it down, you know, chill out, you know, don't be so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. You know, play cards with us, do this with us, do that with us. I'm not saying playing cards is wrong. I'm just saying they wanted me to do more carnal things, and I wanted to talk to things of God. You know, I'm sorry, you know, maybe I had a religious spirit to a certain degree in the sense I was too zealous that way, but I'm not saying I wasn't. I was trying not to be, but it could have bent that way. But I want you to be those ones that just religion, just doing the same old, is not going to be one thing that will keep you driving forward. You'll actually be totally, absolutely frustrated with that. And so we've got to move past, you know, just having a blessed life with material things and, you know, just living a free lifestyle and whatever, you know, thank God we have freedom. You know, I look at America and in most of the nations are listening, you know, we tout that we have freedom of religion in our nation. Okay. So, and we get privileges from that. We do. We get to worship the Lord in however we want, basically. But how does heaven look at that attribute? That other gods are allowed to be worshipped. That Allah is being worshipped. Buddha is being worshipped. And do you think God likes that? No, there's one God. He says, you'll have no other gods before me. So how do I fight? I fight for my freedom, but I also fight for in the spirit that those other gods will be laid low and that my God will be exalted. I realize I can't ask my congressmen and my legislators to legislate righteousness and say every other religion but God is the one true God. Lord Jesus Christ is the only religion. That's not going to happen. You know, freedom of religion is part of the democracy that we all live in. But I can sure pray for it in the spirit. And, you know, I want to walk in that. Just don't rest in your comfort zone. Have a heart to begin to advance something. That's what makes a nation great. You know, Proverbs 14:34 talks about that, and that when righteousness exalts a nation, and a nation is blessed. I'm sorry, whose God is the Lord. You know, that's what makes us a great nation. Is those type of things. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln in some of his speeches was making it, declaring that we're good not because of what we do, but because of what God made us to be. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to honor. And we're not going to be successful. It's been said, I've been listening, you know, with our Constitution being challenged in America constantly, you know, there are secular, you know, political scientists who basically say that our Constitution will not work without religion. There has to be moral ground. The Judeo-Christian values have to be the foundation. I've said it before. When I was in Israel, I had my Jewish guide on a tour one time say, look, your Constitution in America was based on the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus, laying out how one should live, the morality of a world that we should live in. You know, our founding father, our founding president, George Washington, said this, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion, and morality are indispensable supports. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. See, if I'm preparing the ward, preparing the way of the Lord, I've got to be like George Washington and say those things. We can't make it without God and without His Word. It's not going to happen. You know, socialism is on the rise in most nations. It is in America. We have a major movement towards socialism, which is total dependence upon a humanist, secularist society. And you're trusting the production of man and its wealth to provide. It's a spirit of mammon is really what it is. Socialism, communism, and Marxism, all the isms, they're based in the spirit of mammon. It is a spirit of poverty, and it comes. And you can go look at nations that have tried it. They are in utter poverty. Now, then, when there's sometimes there's a mixture, you know, you can see a sense of prosperity. but it's balanced, you know, and you still have the moral ground. You have a chance to survive in that setting. So part of our call is to fight for those things, and the fight that God and His Word will be preeminent. The only way we can be great, the only way a society can be great, is if the Lord is supreme. And that's what we're called to prepare the way of the Lord. You know, Jeremiah told the people in exile, I think it's in Jeremiah 29, that they should pray for the prosperity and the welfare of the nation that they're in, that God would prosper them as a sign, not that, hey, everybody can have better homes and more materialism, but that God is supreme, and they were being blessed because God's people were there. And because God's people was there, there was favor on the land. And therefore, thus pointing them to the Lord. That's preparing the way of the Lord. We got to find out how our patriarchs, how men of old were successful in transforming society, transforming and advancing the kingdom of God, preparing for Jesus to come. We need to find those. In Jeremiah 6:16, it talks about that there are ancient paths that we must go. That's where you find rest. Because when Jesus said, you know, cast your cares upon me, it was a cross-reference to this passage in Jeremiah, which is find the ancient paths. And that's where rest comes. If I can get on the path that others have done, like John the Baptist and Elijah and others, to prepare the way of the Lord, then I can rest, and then I'm not going to do it myself. I'm going to do it in something that's proven. And the ancient paths that Jesus has laid for, because He's the Ancient of Days. He has prepared the way. So when we find those ways, then we can prepare the way of the Lord for us in our society and our culture. Wow, I'm challenging. This is an apostolic word. I hope that you're taking the challenge today and say, look, I want to be one of those who transforms the culture, transforms society, transforms my home, the place I work, the city I live in. Go for it. Man, that's what we're here for, to give our whole lives at. All right, God bless you. See you tomorrow.